And at this time, we're going, because we have, this is the first meeting in person we've had for a long time, we're going to read the rules of conduct for public meetings with this organization. The Board of Directors of Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority encourages the public to attend monthly business meetings as well as any special meetings or workshops of the board. The monthly business meeting agenda dedicates time for public comment on agenda items and other issues of concern. The basic rules of conduct for a meeting environment, all cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. Rules of conduct for public comment. Each speaker, when called upon by the board chair, will provide his or her name and address. State the topic of his or her concern clearly and succinctly for the record. Each speaker will have 3 minutes of allotted time for initial remarks. Each speaker should speak loudly enough so that the board and all other meeting participants are able to hear. Speak directly to the topic of concern. Seek to provide constructive input to the board. Refrain from any racial slurs, personal insults, ridicule, threats, or otherwise abusive language in the course of his or her comments. Speakers wishing to provide written testimony or documentation in support of his or her oral comments are encouraged to bring 6 copies for distribution to the board and office staff. Any person or persons who persist in refusing to honor the above stated rules will be judged to be intentionally disrupting the orderly conduct of the meeting and will be asked to leave the premises. Continued failure to comply with these rules may result in the meeting being recessed at the request of a board member or adjourned with a motion and majority vote of the board members present to be reconvened at a time and place to be determined by the board of directors as a part of the motion to adjourn. Special rules of conduct for in-person meetings in a public health threat environment. A public health environment is defined for these purposes as the potential for community spread of a contagious infection in Tillamook County as determined by the Oregon Health Authority. These additional rules are adopted to protect the health of all meeting participants. The public meeting notice will announce whether the meeting will be held in person or virtually. In-person meetings may be convened when the Tillamook County community transmission is determined by the Oregon Health Authority to be low or moderate level at the time of public notice of the meeting. 30,000 population counties. Low is defined as 0 to 15. Moderate is 16 to 22.5. And virtual computer-based meetings will be convened if county community transmission level is determined by the health authority to be substantial or high. Substantial is 22.6 cases to 30 cases and high over 30. So 2 weeks ago when we made this announcement of this meeting, we had 14 people in Tillamook County. And as of 11-2, we had 10. So we're pretty safe today. While all meeting participants are encouraged to wear masks to protect themselves and others, PCJWSA will follow Oregon Health Authority guidelines with respect to any requirement for in-person meeting participant to wear a protective mask. Masks are provided and available. For in-person meetings, all meeting participants will be seated a minimum of 8 feet apart unless they're married. Any persons currently experiencing or exhibiting symptoms of COVID would be asked to leave the meeting. Oh, thank you. Failure to comply with these special rules will result in a person or persons being asked to leave the premises. So at this point, since we haven't had these kind of rules before, and we haven't had a public meeting in a couple of years, I think it was appropriate to read those in entirety. So at this point, we'll call the roll call. Let's see. Sean Carlton.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
Cameron Gogas.
Here.
Thomas Donahue, present. So we have four directors here. We have a quorum. Item four, the minutes. The October 11, 2022 business meeting. Are there any additions or corrections that need to be recognized? Hearing none?
Hearing none. I'll move that we approve the October 11, 2022 business meeting minutes.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a second. Are there any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried unanimously. Financial report, item 5A, accounts payable, October 15th and October 31st. Are there any questions concerning accounts payable?
I brought in my concerns and talked to Rochelle about it, so there's a couple things, a few things that were on there. So,
okay, if there are no other questions or discussions, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for October 15th, 2022 and October 31st, 2022.
Is there a second? Do we have a second?
Yep.
I think Rochelle's trying to get in here.
Rochelle. Hold on.
I'm not sure we heard you.
You and Tom both have your mic on, so there's an echo on my side, so the recording on this side won't sound good.
Oh. Okay.
Better turn my mic up.
Turn it off.
Somebody has to be off.
Off.
Somebody has okay. to be off.
I'll turn mine off. Recording on this.
I'll turn mine off. I've got it.
Okay. Accounts payable. Where are we? We have a
motion and a second to approve.
All right. Any other discussion about accounts payable for October 15th and 31st? All those in favor of the motion? Signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Unanimous? Carried. Item B, fiscal year 22-23 general, what do we call it? General ledger. Any questions about that? Okay, we'll move on to the manager's report. Item six, John.
Thank you. Just a couple of highlights from the report this month. We've got another communication from a customer regarding our short-term rental rates. I put a copy of that in the board. These still trickle in. If there's any situation that I don't feel we've addressed, I will definitely bring it to the board for their decision. This one was so identical to the one the board had recently ruled on, I went ahead and responded in the way I thought was appropriate. If there's any concern about that, let me know, but I didn't want to bring it to the same issue to the board.
So basically, it's people that they want to turn it on and off, or because now the county has a moratorium on permits, or...
Well, the moratorium they put on the short-term rental permits seems to be the catalyst for a lot of people moving in that direction to obtain these permits before the deadline. And the problem is most of them, if not all of them, are not aware that in addition to fees with the county, it increases their water rates with us. And that's apparently coming as a surprise to a lot of folks.
The county doesn't notify them that this is a possibility?
Well, it's not really their job. They don't bring anything up about us. It might be helpful if they did. They probably aren't aware themselves and may not think it's their place to do so. But it has caused some concern. We've got a couple of homeowners who are looking to sell their house, and they're not planning to rent it, but they've got the short-term rental permit. A lot of them believe that it will help with the sale of their house to have an active permit. And we've got a couple situations where people aren't planning to use it, but they wanted to get it mainly for the purpose of selling their house, and now they're having to pay higher fees, and they didn't anticipate that. And we've gotten some requests to delay our rate hike for them until after they sell their home. And it's kind of the same thing that we talked about at the last board meeting. Because we can't really track that's not something we can manage. The board's perspective, the way I understood it, is because of those difficulties, our rates have to be based on whether a permit is issued, not whether it's being used.
And so it's like they want an on-off switch, basically.
Well, that could open the door for something like that. Well, I want to, there may be people that, want to live in the house 1 month but rent it the next. And, it's a situation that we really need to try to make sure we don't find ourselves in.
So we're not looking at doing it. Okay.
No.
What is the cost for
Rochelle could probably tell us that for sure. What's the increase in the base rate for the short-term rental?
57, I think.
Is they pay a higher CIC and they pay sewer consumption, which is similar to a commercial property.
Okay. So they're basically moved up to the commercial rates for the most part. I think the line of thinking is that if they're a short-term rental, a short-term vacation rental, they're actually running a business, and therefore the residential rates shouldn't apply.
Well, if we're going to do that, let's charge a fee for turning it on and off, no different than turning their water on and off. Get a fee out of it and make it offset where it's...
I think it'd be a real problem,
It would be hard to manage.
Yeah, you got to keep track of everybody in our district. No, I don't think so. It's just way too much admin work.
And how could you verify what you were even being told was accurate?
Exactly.
Right. So it either is or isn't. So exactly. Our position is just this is what our policy is.
Correct.
We need to get a notification out there.
That was the gist of our meeting and discussion last month. And I think what John's saying is this situation
obviously people
this time doesn't present anything different.
So maybe we need to get something out there to...
No, we basically already... There's only a few involved, so we basically...
I think we're going to get more of it. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're going to get more of it, too. This came out... I was at the short-term rental meeting this morning at Tillamook County, and this came up, and there were some people there from Pacific City who complained about their PCJWSA increase. But it also came out at the meeting that the short-term rental permit adds between $50,000 and $75,000 worth of value to a house. So, hard for me to feel a whole lot of...
Really? They figure that much?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Dang.
Okay.
Just a couple of other points. With the board's permission, I'd like to begin an internal review of some of our resolutions and ordinances. Some of them are quite old. Over time, policies and procedures have evolved. Some of these existing resolutions and ordinances are 40 plus years old. And there's information in there that's no longer relevant or applicable. If it's, you know, it would be something where I would, bring one to the board perhaps every month. I think that would be manageable and for the board to review. And a lot of it's just kind of housekeeping stuff. But if that's agreeable to the board, I'd like to move forward with that.
Ann?
I think that's an excellent idea, and I applaud the initiative you're taking and suggesting it.
I agree. Like you say, housekeeping is necessary, but unfortunately, any change you make needs to come before us.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's understandable. I think that's a good idea. Is there consensus?
Yeah, this is something that we've been pushing for a long time, so I really like the idea. I mean, we've gone through various stages of it, but at one point we were trying to encourage staff to collect all of the different resolutions and policies and everything into one place so we knew what everything was, and then review them and try to update them, and it just seems like it's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle over the past few years, so I appreciate it. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I had said something to Rochelle yesterday about resolutions also. I think we need to clean them up. And
outstanding. Thank you, John.
We'll move forward with that.
And then get an updated copy to everybody.
Yeah. And it'll be educational, I think, at least for me. We've got a lot of these on the books. I think it's important for me as the authority manager to have a good understanding of our own internal rules and resolutions. And, you know, there may be board members that could benefit by a review of that, too. So I think there's several advantages. Really, that's about it for the manager's report. I did mention our new work order generation software. I also mentioned the stream gauging station on Horn Creek that needs to be upgraded. If you guys have any questions or comments about that, let me know. But I won't rehash those issues unless there's questions.
So, what about the status of the lift station, Straub and Kwanda? So those are done.
They're not done. They're close to being done. We finally got the control panels we've been waiting for. We were targeting having those installs done last spring, but because of supply chain problems with some of the electrical components in the panels, it was delayed a significant amount. And I'm glad the delay is over. We've got the panels. We are coordinating with our electrician and our pump contractor, and I do believe there's a good chance we could get both these installed and commissioned before the end of the month, certainly before the end of the year. And we'll be moving on the heels of those with four more lift station upgrades that have been budgeted for in this fiscal cycle. And, you know, because of additional delays, I don't want to put off launching those projects any longer than necessary, because there likely will be some procurement delays.
So, and then there'll all be standardized of everything. Will be all the same and utilized pumps and everything.
Yep, one pump on the shelf we could replace with most of our lift stations. Of course, lift stations like airport is a different animal.
It's a brutal.
But you know, for our the majority of our smaller lift stations, they'll be all standardized.
Well, you look how long we've had the lift stations and stuff. I mean, when was the last time we really did a major overhaul on any of them?
Ella was the last one.
And that was...
And then they'll all be the same as Ella.
Yeah. Ella wasn't that long ago, but these ones we're upgrading
haven't received any serious upgrades and...
Just pumps, replacement of pumps.
Just pumps, yeah.
I had a question, John, about our unaccounted for water. I noticed we finally got the data, but we had a lot of leaks this last month. What was the status of all those?
Yeah, well, and I'm glad I meant to bring that up as part of my manager's report, and I'm glad you did, Tom, because I almost forgot it. Our water loss numbers, and let's call it unaccounted for water, was higher this month than we'd like to see, but I just want everybody to understand how difficult this can be to pin down. If we have a water leak, and I'm talking about the water leaks we're used to, the ones that suddenly break and spring up and we got to deal with them right away, it's virtually impossible to estimate how much water is lost during those events. And we do make our best estimate, but that's all it is. And if we just have one water break during the course of the month, that puts our unaccounted for water number that we're reporting into question. If we had a month like we had last month where we had four water leaks, this number has to be taken with a grain of salt. And I think that, I just want everybody to understand how difficult it is to report an accurate monthly number when we have, when we have a single water leak, let alone three or four. And so in order to really put faith in the numbers we report, we have to have a clean month. And we have had a couple of those in the recent past, and we're averaging about, I believe, about 25% right now. We're looking to improve that. This month's number is 39%, but all that tells me is that we underestimated the amount of water that we lost with those water leaks this month.
The ongoing problem with the new equipment, where are we at with that? You said you were going to start doing it section by section. What section are you working at of the system now?
Well, we just finished Woods.
Did they finish? Sorry.
There might be one street, maybe. I've got to update that. My understanding is that for the most part, Woods is completely done. We didn't find anything in Woods, so we're going to move down Resort. We're going to do Resort. We're going to come into North Broughton, and then we're going to continue on and to branch out into parts
Good.
Of town until we eventually cover everywhere. I do know we will find some. We just, there's miles and miles of pipe. We just got to get there. And
so the new device is helping.
It's a good piece of equipment.
A good tool.
Number one problem is going to be learning how to run it. And that's going to be trial and error until we get it figured out. And not everybody can go do it because it's time consuming. You're going to lose two people for a day trying to figure out what you're doing. So
it's an ongoing training thing.
It is, and it's not going to be something that happens overnight. And,
okay. Good. At least we have the equipment.
Tool in the toolbox.
Well, and I don't want to give any illusions to anybody that this is something, as Leonard pointed out, that can be done quickly. To cover our entire service area, if we can get it done in a year, I'll be happy. But that's aggressive. Because we still have two treatment plants to keep running and all kinds of other commitments. We don't have a lot of discretionary time is the problem. And but we will keep at it, and I know that this we will solve many of these problems. It's going to take time.
So that kind of leads into another thing as far as employment for tech in training. Are you thinking about bumping the like we had top? Are you thinking about bumping to fill that position?
We have increased the starting pay for that position. It should be in the paper now, and in hopes of generating additional interest. We did have a nibble on it, but the person backed out. He had some other opportunity that came up before we could reach out and circle back with that person and try to line up an interview.
Do you think it'd help if maybe we got somebody with a certification of a level one or two?
We can't find anybody. It's out there. People just aren't.
Well, let's move on then.
Hang on, I got a question if you don't mind. So I just have a question for you, John. I think this is the first time I'm realizing that maybe my idea of unaccounted water loss is not accurate. We do not just take the water produced and subtract out the water billed to get the unaccounted for water?
That's essentially what we do.
Okay.
But in the case of a water leak, that's water lost, but it's not water unaccounted for, if you know what I mean. We know what happened to that water. It poured out on the ground. So in that case, there's, in my mind, if this gets to the heart of your question, I'm not sure, Sean, but when we have a water leak that's going to affect our numbers, well, that's water lost. It's not water not accounted for. So what we try to do every month is when we have a leak, we estimate to the best of our ability how much water was lost during that leak, and then we factor that into our calculation. Okay. And, you know, even though my belief is we're at about 25, I'm a little uncomfortable adjusting our estimations to help me meet a particular target.
Right. That was my question.
Yes. What I'd much rather do is do our estimation before the calculation's done and just take our lumps if we misguess. Because okay. I don't want it to look like we're...
Yeah,
we're conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
There's nothing else on your report, John. Let's move into item 7, unfinished business, our wastewater master plan.
Well, the good news is we've got the draft. Took longer than any of us had hoped to get it. I'm glad we've got it, but now we've got our work cut out for us. I was actually this internal ordinance and resolution thing, I was hoping to even start it this month, but when I realized you all got 130 pages of a master plan to review, I decided, we'll push that off a little bit. But I would encourage everybody to give that a good read, just as at their earliest convenience. Let's get our comments assembled and back to Parametrics. And I think we'd all dearly like to try to meet our end of the year contract extension deadline for this. And I'll be starting my review probably tomorrow. When you guys get a chance, please sit down with that document, give it a good look over, provide your comments. We'll consolidate the comments. We'll get them off to Parametrics. And my hope is that two business meetings from now, we won't have to see this on an unfinished business item.
Thank you. Item B, Tom, water management and conservation plan.
You had a question.
Excuse me. Go ahead, Ann.
Comment. I'm wondering, because of everything that John just said, and the unavoidable delay that we've had in producing this, if it might not be a good thing for the board to set its own deadline for getting comments to John, so that we can be absolutely certain we're going to keep this thing moving.
Well, it's November now. When do you need it, John?
Well, I think we should try to get ourselves in a position to where we can get back to Parametrics with our comments I'd like to see it by Thanksgiving.
I personally was thinking 2 weeks, which would be the 22nd. Thanksgiving is the 24th.
That's aggressive.
I was thinking 3 weeks.
Okay.
So the 29th?
The end of the month.
The 1st of December?
Yeah.
So what, if I'm understanding correctly, what you would then do is take all of our comments, assemble them, look at them, because some of them may not be workable for the engineering part. I mean, they might be just questions that you can just answer for us and we're done. But you would take the substantive comments to the engineering firm or work through all of them with the engineering firm and produce a final document based on all of our input.
Yeah,
and then we would be done.
Yes, and I think there can probably be some instances where I get the same comment from all four of you.
Could be.
So, yeah, I'd like to pull those together into something that is easy.
Is that all right with you?
Easy for
the 29th?
For the engineer to decipher more quickly.
He said 3 weeks. That would be the 29th.
Well, let's just make it December 1st.
Okay. Is that?
That works for me. And
my biggest concern is to keep this moving because it is so delayed.
I agree.
And the other thing is, too, once you get in the frame of mind to read this.
Yeah, our contract.
You make a lot more progress when your mind is in the right place.
Yeah, it's a heavy read, I know.
So, okay, so
but we're under the
by the end of business on November 30th, then.
I think that's okay, and we'll put the pressure on Parametrics to get it finished up in the last month of the year.
Yeah.
Okay,
fair enough. They were a week late getting it to us, so...
And that was
after multiple delays. So, you know, the change in finishing this should come out of their time frame, not the board's time frame.
I would agree with that. For sure.
Okay,
they can work overtime.
By 11:30, we'll get it to John, our comments to John by the end of business on November 30th. Cool.
All right, water management and conservation plan.
Well, this is another one that's been on the agenda for a while. This will be the last time. I mentioned during our last business meeting that our plan was approved. We were just waiting for the final order from the Oregon Water Resources Department. We received that final order. It was in the board packet for your reference for this meeting. And as we anticipated, they have placed a development limitation on us in terms of our water use permit of a 1.35 cubic feet per second. So I wanted to confirm what that was going to be before I addressed, you know, I've been promising coming to the board to have a serious water rights discussion. I was waiting for that final order just to be sure I wasn't surprised and they wouldn't have put that development limitation on us, but they have. My understanding is this is something new that the Water Resources Department is doing, probably from pressure from environmental groups, just like we've encountered in the past. They are now factoring in water needs projections in our water management and conservation plan to determine what they're willing to allow us in terms of developing a water right. And so our current permit, this is the permit that we've been talking about for a while, our water use permit at Horn Creek, it's currently 2 cubic feet per second. So
yeah, why are they limiting if the 1.35? I couldn't quite figure that out.
It's because the look ahead in our water conservation plan does not predict the need for any more water than that for the next 10 to 20 years. And until we can predict that need, they will not allow us any more than what we think we're going to need. So
this is revisable should circumstances change.
We can, there's some things we can do. There's a process called green lighting, unused portion of the water rights permit. And I'm jumping ahead here, and I'm sorry. That's new business, but it does, now that we have the final order, there's nothing else we're waiting for in terms of the water management and conservation plan. It is done, it is approved, it is accepted. And therefore, it will not have to be on the agenda again unless there's something specific to discuss.
Okay.
I got one comment. It might be splitting hairs, but I think it's important to point out especially since this is an order and they have findings of fact, but they state multiple times the City of Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority. And given that it's a legal document and findings of fact, I just want to make sure that that's not going to come back and bite us in the ass sometime.
I think I noticed that too. I couldn't help but miss it. But I think what that's referring to is that we are a municipal government. So while we're not an incorporated city, we are a municipal government. And the way I read that was that's government speak for government entity.
That's fine if that's the case. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Because it wasn't City of Pacific City.
That's what it says.
Yes, it does.
It says City of Pacific City.
It says City of PCJWSA.
Yeah.
That's the municipality, not Pacific City as an incorporated town.
I hope if that's the case, great. Yeah, I just think it's worth.
I noticed that too, and I you know, lots of people make that mistake.
Indeed.
And it is a legal document. I did notice it myself. I didn't put too much stock in it, but it might be worth just me reaching out to our contact at the Water Resources Department.
Or
because they could easily just issue a revised letter just to make sure that there's no confusion about that, if need be. I think, you know, in large part, I think Ann's right, though. I think it's probably just how they talk. It's legal.
If they revised it might be to the municipal entity PCJWSA.
Something along those lines.
But
as long as everybody's good with it, I just want to make sure that doesn't come back to cause problems.
John, what is the situation with our vacancy for a board director? Any upgrade on that or any update?
We haven't gotten any bites at all. Unfortunately, I've seen that the ad has fallen out of the PC Sun. We're going to put it back in there, or we're going to pursue putting it back in there. But we haven't gotten any bites on it at all. I'm not sure what we can do to entice more interest. Of course, I think, well, let's just advertise. Let's broaden our advertising. But the problem is it has to be somebody who lives in Pacific City. So,
and is a registered voter.
And yes. And because of that, I'm not sure expanding our advertising is really going to do any good for us.
I agree.
Maybe like the OIT, we need to increase the salary range.
Now let's make it $30 an hour.
I have talked to a couple people. I don't know what will come of it, but
yeah. I have as well. Yeah. I'm sure we all have
conversations.
Well, my guess is it may have to be a bit of a grassroots effort on our part to generate some interest.
Okay, thank you. Change of TLC, what's that, Tillamook Lincoln Clatsop Credit Union authorized signers. Ann, do we have any upgrade on what we're doing now?
Well, you all received an email from Karen Seaman from, did you check your PCJ email?
I did.
Today?
Because it came to all of us.
Yeah.
Was that the?
And
no, yeah, it was a few days ago.
Do I need to go in and sign?
Yes.
I actually
you do. The email explained the procedure, but just briefly. The forms that I made up that you came into the office and signed and had a copy of your driver's license taken.
So that means all of us are going to be on it?
No. Let me finish, please. Sean and Cameron are part of the board, which is the governing body that made the decision to change the signers. So that's why your information was collected, and you will be signing a form at TLC that says that you're part of the governing body that authorized these change of signers. You are new signers on the account, and so you provided more information on the form we devised for this purpose. You will sign both as a part of the governing body that made the decision, as I did, and then you will also sign the signature card for the account, which you will also sign, but not as you sign in a different capacity than Tom and I, and they have the forms all there, all made out. I was in there yesterday, and it's when you go in, the lady at the far desk on the left-hand side has all the forms, knows the whole situation, and so I just encourage everybody to go in and sign what you have. Just go in and tell them you're here for a process on change of signers on the PCJWSA line of credit, and they'll take it from there.
I honestly didn't get that email.
Okay. Well, I saw that it went out and everybody was on the list, so I don't know.
It went to your Gmail account. It looked like not your PCJWSA account.
Okay.
Looking at the email.
I'm not sure why that would be. Maybe you put that email account on the form that you signed in the office, which is how we provided the information.
Okay, I'll look again. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So is there an order that this has to be done? Does Cameron and Sean have to go in before
you just go in individually as soon as you can, and they'll put in front of you what you need to sign given your capacity.
Okay.
All right. So new business. This time I'd like to welcome an old friend and former board member, Doug Olson. He's going to talk to us about the audiovisual upgrade proposal in this facility. Doug, you got the floor.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. It's nice to be back here. It's been several years since we haven't had meetings for a while, and I haven't been here, but I did sit on behind the table there for 9 or 10 years, so pretty familiar with what you do here.
Want to come back?
No, I have my hands full.
You are busy, guy.
The fourth term of PUD and probably my last. We're all aging out, so we know at some point you say time for a new group. Anyway, so the history of this building, most of you know, you may not. This was built with a community development block grant about 26 years ago, and it stopped right here. Then about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, no, I hadn't been that long, maybe five, I don't know. About five.
Five-ish.
This wing here, the Faye Jensen Room, was built with TLT money, Transit Lodging Tax. This addition cost about $380,000. The rest over here, I think, was $750,000 way back then. So this is a multi-million-dollar building. It's on the tax rolls. So it's actually not on the tax rolls, but the value is carried on the tax rolls. I think somewhere around $2 million or whatever. So that's the very short history when they built it. One of the things they overlooked was an adequate public address system. They put in a 1983 Radio Shack model something or other there's some speakers on up on the wall on the other side. There's a little amplifier behind the stage, but it doesn't work very well. And so that's been a problem from day one. And so the chamber got involved with this a few years ago. We used to have an office, we the chamber, used to have an office in Cloverdale for a number of years, right on 101. And a lot of our functions occurred at the Pelican, but we sort of outgrew that. And so we ended up negotiating with the Kiwanda Community Center here. We now have an office up by the front, and we've had that on for a couple of years. Apart from what we're talking about is we're also in the process of working a deal through the county and the KCC and the chamber to where we'll have a halftime person shared with the Kiwanda Community Center, and we turn this into a legitimate visitor center. So when people come this direction, then they can come in and ask somebody, where do I get this? Where do we eat dinner? Where can I stay overnight? Could you have some handouts or brochures? So that's happening. And along with that, one of the major items that doesn't happen in here, with all the use they've had, is a public address system. So we started working on that with the KCC about, I'm going to say, a year and a half ago, and I've got some of the original documents. And I wrote an RFP, which I used to do in my previous life. I was a contracting officer for Washington County and also a large school district in Washington State. So I said, well, I'll write an RFP, and I did. And it was based on a design build. And so we invited as many audiovisual type vendors in, and I think we had about 11 or 12, and several of them came to a meeting, and we said, here's what we want to do. We want to be able to have screens in that room And in this room, we want to have cameras that can pick us up and get us on the internet. We want to have adequate sound system that we can control into that room, this room, all the offices, the fireside room, and even the kitchen. And we could segregate them all by saying, if you want music in the kitchen, you could do it. If you had a meeting here and a meeting there, you could do it. And so we put that out, and we got some responses. I think we only got three. And the one that really looked like something we wanted came in at $108,000, a little more than we could swing. And we had I thought in my mind, and I guess I was looking back and being realistic, I thought we could get a pretty high-level system for about $50,000. Turned out I was wrong by a factor of two. And so anyway, long story short, we said, okay, this, we're going to have to eliminate some things. We're going to have to bring it back down. And the vendor that was the successful at the time that we wanted to use was based in Newburgh. They said, you know, we just can't do that. We have too much other business, and we can't work with you. They basically stepped back. And so then we said, okay, now what do we do? So this is a little less than a year ago, last January, February. And so one of our board members, our current president, Glenn Gillis, said, well, I've worked with Delta Audiovisual before, and it turns out Delta did a lot of AV work at the school remodel. The K-8 has some new AV stuff. So he worked with them, and I did a bit as well, and we ended up with a system that now we've entered into an agreement for $63,000. And the source of the money is the chamber is getting, has been for the last couple of years, although it really didn't pause during the pandemic, getting about $50,000 a year from the county, and that's TLT money, transit lodging tax money. And the reason we get that is other chambers, typically around the state and in Tillamook County and the city of Tillamook, if they're an incorporated city, they generally get some of the room tax money that's generated by the city for promotion and a variety of other things. Since we're unincorporated, as you just talked about, we had nothing but our regular dues income and whatever we could beg, borrow, and steal. And so we scratched for money for a long time. But we finally got the county to say, we can offer some support, not general fund money, but the TLP money. And so we took that money, and then we went to our membership and said, okay, here's a schedule of 25 or 30 projects around here that would do us all some good. Let's start talking about what's real and what would enhance the area and so on. And this quickly rose to the top, the new public address system. And so anyway, so that's how we got where we are. Now, what we went back and said, okay, we've got to cut some things. And so it turned out that we took out all the offices, we took out the fireside room, and a mistake was made that we left out some screens in this room and also some of the cameras that would put us on live on the internet if a meeting happened to want to do that like you're doing tonight. And so what we've done recently, just in the last week, since I had a talk with the chair and we've been talking among ourselves as well, principally because it was supposed to be installed around Labor Day, supply chain issues you brought up. We're now told it'll be installed the week of January 11th, but we shall see. You know, when I see people in here with ladders and stuff, I'll say, okay, maybe for real. Anyway, so what we're going to add to what we have now, we're going to add a big screen that would probably go on the wall right here, and that would be like an 84-inch, you know, a big guy, high-resolution. Then we'd also add one on a roller cabinet some kind of a platform that could be mobile and moved around and plugged in or even stand alone and stick a thumb drive in or something that could be used all over the place. The one that's under contract now, there's in the other room, the big room, the great room, there's a drop-down screen that's, I think it's 139 inches by 80-something. It's big. It's like a small movie theater. And there'll be a 600-lumen projector on the back wall. And then there'll be speakers individually controlled in this room and that room. And in here, I think they're looking like six in the ceiling tile, and over there they'll have two big ones up front. So you could have sound in that room, sound in this room, or either or both or nothing. What we would do without then is the sound back in the offices and the kitchen and so on, like we had originally contemplated. But the idea is we would be able to conduct a meeting in here, just like you're doing here. And we'd have also two cameras in each room, high resolution, that would swivel, tilt, pan, and one up here that would pick up the audience, another one back here that would pick up the board, or however it's configured. And they would be movable around and simply plug into the system and use the internet, which is here. And I'm not sure how speedy this is, but there's an option separately to connect that to some cables that are in the area from Tillamook Lightwave, and I can give you talk about that if you want to know the story on that. But anyway, so when this is all said and done, we're going to need to add somewhere between, I'm going to say, 3,000 and maybe as much as 7,000 or 8,000 to our existing contract. And that will get us four cameras, two here, two there. That will get us a mounted screen up here, another portable one, and I think another one in there, and then the labor to hook it up. The control racks, there'll be two control racks. One will be back behind where the system is now, back off to the side of the stage area. And then the other one, there'll be a wall unit in here, and I'm not too sure where they're going to put it, but someone using this room could go up to the wall and punch in, okay, we want to activate speakers, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, or whatever it is in this room, and it wouldn't go there. And I'm not sure how it's going to shake out in terms of somebody operating it. One of our fundamental requirements was it needs to be extremely user-friendly. So if a group comes in and they're having a wedding reception, yeah, and they brought along their family album on a thumb drive, they can stick it in, turn it on, and up will come their family history during the reception or whatever, and maybe some background music, those kinds of things. There's a Blu-ray player included in the current contract and some other AV stuff. And these days, you know, if you have an iPhone, you can get pretty good music out of that. So where we are now is we're looking at January 11th. Realistically, I'll be very happy if it's done by the 1st of February. Just knowing what's going on in the supply world. I'm fairly familiar with this kind of stuff. PUD, I have to be on the PUD board, did a major remodel in the office right there as you come into Tillamook, and then also the operations center. And the operations center has about, one room has like four giant screens all the way around. And so in the event of some major problem, you can come in there, local governments and whoever, the cops and anybody else will come in there, and they can see what's going on from various cameras and basically all over the country. Whatever's on the internet, they can get it up there and see it and talk back. PUD has meetings now, like you do, monthly and sometimes more frequently, and we do exactly what you're doing. There's a camera that can zoom in on who's ever speaking, the whole room or the board. It can move around, it, you know, go up and down, tilt, pan, and zoom. And it can also, the controller, whoever's running the meeting, can go onto the screen and enlarge it so that if someone is speaking, you can go up and bring that picture up, just a headshot of that individual, or take it back to all the people that are watching, the entire people who are signed on. And, you know, we've all done Zoom and those kinds of meetings. And, you know, sometimes you see there's five people, sometimes there's 105. And you should see names and all that kind of stuff. That's what we want to end up with here, so that we can have these kinds of meetings. So now here's how it's being paid for. The chamber is putting in, presently, under the present agreement, $33,000. The Kiwanis community is putting in $30,000. And the $30,000, 10 of it they have set aside through their various rentals, and they got $20,000 from Facebook. And the Facebook, as you recall, had a cable landing effort that came in successfully eventually. It came into Tierra del Mar on a piece of land just on the south end. And they, in my opinion, and I was pretty close to it when it was happening, I went to some of their meetings, they did exactly the polar opposite of what you're supposed to do from a public relations standpoint when you come into a community. They basically did it and said, you know, you folks get out of our way, we're going to do this, and all with you. and that didn't go over so well. And they got a lot of pushback, legal and otherwise. And then they, while they were doing that, they had trouble with their boring, their undersea boring that goes out about 3,000 feet and then hooks onto the undersea cable. They had to abandon it. And then they went back and did a second one. Well, one thing led to another, and the county got on them, and others of us got on them, and they finally said, "Yeah, we messed up. We should have come and had some meetings up front and informed the community." So they wrote a check for $20,000, and it ended up with the Kiwanis Community Center to be used at their discretion. So that's where $30,000 came from. The other $33,000 will come from the chamber, and most of which is the TLT money passing through. So we have a written contract now. It's signed by both parties, and it's a legally binding contract. I mean, there's, quite long anyway, and it specifies exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And they have told us, and they keep asking for minor extensions, which, like I said, now is like January 11th. So theoretically, they will arrive in January and install everything I told you. In the meantime, we're going to try and execute a change order for several thousand dollars to get the rest of the cameras. So I guess that's the history, and it will happen. And I will just say off the record, well, I'm not off the record, really. I'm on a record.
No, you're not.
I'm a little bit embarrassed and disappointed on behalf of the chamber, because I thought we had a couple more items in there that turned out that were not included, and that's the cameras. And the cameras run somewhere around $500 to $700 a piece. So we're talking like, a couple of $1,000 for cameras. And then the big screen TVs these days, if you call them TVs, they're actually computer monitors, they're not all that expensive. These days you can buy a pretty fancy 4,000, I can't think of the word, but anyway, very, very high resolution, for $100,000.
Costco.
You can get TVs now. My first TV, long, long time ago, was black and white, and I think it cost over $100, and it was about that big. Nowadays, we all know what you get. So the screens themselves and monitors aren't that expensive. So somewhere we're going to have to scratch up another, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to finish this off, pay for the installation, and get it up where we thought it, where we wanted it originally. And the equipment, there's a lot of, there's some Epson equipment in there. There's, I'll get to look at it, but most of the brand names you would recognize. It's not low-end stuff, and neither is it the absolute top, but it's pretty high-quality stuff, and we're told it's got a useful life of, 8, 10, 12, 15 years or longer, but we all know how electronics work. You can have a phone, and it'll be completely unserviceable, in 18 months maybe, or 3 years or some, the shelf life of electronics is pretty short, but audio visual not quite so much, because a microphone is a microphone. And we will also have on this one, there'll be handheld microphones, cordless. There'll be the lavalier microphones, and the kind you clip on your shirt if somebody's walking around and presenting something or other. And so it'll essentially be state of the art. So that's the long and short story of where we are. Now, as I understand it, JWSA is interested in meeting here now permanently.
Permanently?
Well,
pretty much.
That's what your chair explained.
I don't recall that the decision was permanent. I recall that it was during the COVID issues.
Okay, well.
And that eventually, when we were comfortable with that, we would move back to our facility.
Okay.
That's my recollection of our discussion.
I had a question. If you wanted to add one or two microphones, do you have to have a separate receiver? Or can your microphones work off a couple extra microphones work off the receivers you have?
I don't know the exact answer to that. I think it probably will. But there's enough microphones in the current agreement. There's like six or eight
six.
Of them that can be spread around. And I think there's some tabletop like this, and then there's some handheld ones, and then the lavalier type that you put on your shirt or your lapel. and they're all cordless. There are no cords running around the place. And by the way, the chamber in the office up front here, we have a fairly good PA system now that we got for, we paid about $2,500 for it, I don't know, 10 years ago or more. It has two speakers, and we have a cordless system, which we bought separately, and we have lavalier microphones and cordless, and we use it when there's bigger meetings in here, like our banquet coming up here in a few weeks, we will use it there. Sometimes we should have had brought it out and used it during the chamber meeting a week ago when it got a little rowdy over the business license discussion. So, we're actually how to do that. And you could use that if you wanted over here in the meantime. But so long story short is we will have a new system that will be close to state of the art. And it's going to cost us somewhere around probably closer to $70,000 when it's all done. And it will be owned by the KCC. If whatever title is involved, if there's a title, it goes to the KCC. And it's part of their infrastructure, if you will. And the advantage to them, and the reason they put in money and we're very much in favor of it, is it will enhance their ability to market this. They can go out and say, okay, you can come down here and bring your wedding reception. By the way, bring all your electronic photos. We'll stick them up on the wall. And those kinds of things. And if there's a seminar of one kind or another, or a meeting of state agency or other public meetings, you can come down here and do whatever you want to do and put it out so that it's live on the internet, whatever program you use.
So let me ask you this. So to finish out this room, a couple of screens, and what else was there?
Well, we'd have at least four cameras, and that would go with one on the presenter, another on the audience, and they would all be swivel tilt and pan, and somebody could sit behind a computer with a mouse and make that happen. At least that's how it works at PUD.
We had some informal discussions about meeting here, having cameras, and so that would actually be exactly what I was kind of looking at. What do you think, Sean?
Well, I certainly think that we're going to be using this space for an extended period of time. Permanent's a strong word, but it's difficult for me to imagine going back to our old space and have it be a safe environment. So it certainly would seem to make sense to at least put some money towards this, given that we're going to be here for a while.
And your thoughts?
I had a question or two for you, Doug. If I was trying to jot down the sources of the money, and what I got was $33,000 from the chamber, $30,000 from KCC. And I think where I went off the rail was, then you talked about the $20,000 from Facebook. Was that included in the $30,000
from
Facebook?
Yes. The source of the Kiwanis Community Center, yeah. $10,000 from their
right.
own.
So it's $53,000 that you have in hand.
We have 63.
20 came from Facebook.
I'm sorry, yes, 63.
Mm-hmm. And then another 10, I suppose, from their own coffers.
Well, whatever, and I was hoping to have.
But it's a $30,000 commitment from KCC, which includes $20,000 from Facebook.
Yes, they'll write a check for $30,000, and they may since the chamber has a contract. There's no privity of contract yet with the KCC. It's two parties, meaning Delta and us, the chamber, and so we'll have to raise another $4,000-$6,000, and I was hoping to have that number tonight so I give you better information. But they told us they won't have it till Thursday.
Okay.
So, you know, and I don't know if that number is going to be $3,000 or $7,000. But
so
I guess
was it your thinking that you would make a specific proposal for funding from PCJWSA so that when you get that number, you would
that.
Make an official ask of
yes.
those funds?
We could do that and give you a copy of their proposal and say, here's how much we're short as of the moment.
I would be more comfortable with that than on the fly coming up with a number tonight.
Yeah, I'm not asking for a number tonight. I'm just giving you where it is. And
it's important to have the background.
Yes.
And I think it kind of sounds like, I don't know, Cameron hasn't commented yet, but it kind of sounds like we're moving toward a positive review. If we got a specific proposal that could be in the next board packet, then we'd have something to decide
on. I'm quite sure if this firm, and they're very legitimate, they're based in Gresham, and like I say, they did a lot of AV work at our school here, and they do kind of commercial and school type applications all over Oregon and Washington, as I understand it.
Do you have input from the school district on the, like, written input, like recommendations of...
No, we probably
could get it. You know, this was our experience. It's working well, whatever.
I could get that.
Kind of like a job recommendation, sort of. I think that might be useful for those of us that don't know this company and aren't making the decision on it.
They were not among the original, as I said. The original,
Clover
14, we invited. We ended up with another one that didn't even attend the pre-bid or the conference we had in addition,
and then my last question is, if a contribution were made from PCJ, if that would include use of the facility without a fee going forward?
That's a question for the KCC. Can't tell you that.
Okay.
It's there.
Something you could explore with them?
Yes, certainly.
That would be great.
You could as well. If you wanted to, say, sign an agreement for a year at so much, I can tell you that we pay $500 a month for a little office up front, and then we pay $100 for our monthly meetings in this room here. So we pay them $600, and I can continuously remind Jeanette of these things we're doing in order to say, well, you know, we're kind of all in this together. Let's make it work. So, you know the history of this as well as I, and it struggled. There was a time when there was talk of closing this building, and it's still basically run by volunteers. And there's a minor amount of cash flow from the Meals on Wheels thing in the kitchen. There's not a lot. I don't think they have any renters now. They may have the Watershed Council. But they had a chiropractor or somebody who was, maybe it wasn't, what's what you call it when you stick needles in there?
Acupuncture. Yeah.
Thank you. There was a person doing that, and I believe she has moved on. And so they've had some, what I would call supplemental income, rental income, but not a lot. Like these people, I think, were paying $300 or $400 a month. And so... So they're not wealthy, but they're better off than they've been, and they've been actively seeking grants. And now, since the pandemic is on the downslope, they're able to book in more weddings and events, and people are coming back together like they did. Mm-hmm. So, long answer, but I most of you know Jeanette Haggerty, I think, and she's a rock star. She's running this thing, and she'll do whatever makes sense financially and public relations wise.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys talked to the Doorman's Association? Do they use this building?
They'll use it for certain meetings, yes. I don't believe the chamber has talked to them about a cooperative agreement of some kind, but they only have two formal meetings a year.
Right.
And they've been using the church next to the post office. That's right. And when they have their board meetings, I'm not sure where they go. For all I know, they're meeting in the sportsman's or somewhere.
Actually, we've been meeting here and online.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. Next one is online. Mm-hmm. So it's catch as catch can. Mm-hmm. It, you know, pandemic has really put a kibosh on a lot of organizations like
everything.
This. Yeah. Well, thank you, Doug. You can... finalize what you need. Please bring it back to us.
I will. Shall I send it to you, or how would you like it?
Send it to John.
It to John, and we'll go on from there. We were looking at doing something like that, and we were looking at something more portable. What conversations I've had with John and. We needed something here, a meeting in this building or even in our own. you know, Teams and Blue Jeans and all these Zoom and all these things have kind of blossomed because of the pandemic, and technology has changed tremendously. So I think working together, I think we can, you know, do something good for the community and ourselves. So.
Do you have an account now with Zoom or one of those that you use?
We use Teams. We use Teams.
Teams.
Because I think, didn't we let Jeanette know that we, for a year?
Oh, yeah, we have a commitment for a year for this room.
Well, I will, when I get a firm number with some details behind it, I will bring that over or send it over, and I'll go from there.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for sticking around.
Well,
let's move on to item B. The new business is water use permit, hashtag Sierra 54783, Horn Creek.
Yeah, so as I hinted at earlier, we are, been promising a discussion about water rights and, a recommendation from me about a path forward. Now that we have this development limitation,
we have to use the hand.
Our options are much clearer and simpler. There was talk early on, do we upgrade Horn Creek? What would that cost? Could we prove beneficial use even if we did it? Well, those conversations are all pretty moot at this point because we've got a development limitation of 1.35, which makes the decision much easier. And the path forward to me is clear, and our legal counsel regarding water rights, who's been very valuable to me in this effort, concurs, is the path forward with this is to pursue what they call a partial perfection, which means our current water use permit is good for 2.0. We can only certify 1.35 of that, which would mean that we would partially perfect, which is another way to just say partially certify a portion of the 2.0 in our permit, and then to file a permit extension for the remainder. And there's, honestly, I've looked at this for a long time. Most of you are aware of that. I've really immersed myself in this. And that is my recommendation because it is the best path forward in my view. And one of the few options we have.
How much time frame do we have?
Well, the permit expires in October 2025, so we've got time.
And still.
I currently have a consultant working to give me a quote for, because, we still need professional assistance to get this done. And so I'm waiting on a proposal from a professional water rights company. They employ certified water rights examiners. This is what they do. This is all they do. And so I'm waiting for that proposal, what it will cost for them to act as our agent in this process with the Water Resources Department. It's not going to be expensive. I would predict it to be substantially less than $10,000. Mm-hmm. But what we should do now, and there's no reason to wait, is we should pursue the partial perfection, and then at a later time, because we've got 3 years or more than 3 years till the permit expires, I'm thinking in a year maybe we begin the process to extend our permit for the remainder. Now I do want to just say something as a clarification. We already have existing water rights certificates for Horn Creek. So it's possible, if not likely, that they're going to factor those into what we can certify. Meaning, if we currently have two water rights
certificates that equal, say, 0.65, which is real close to what they equal. Our partial perfection isn't going to be a 1.35. It's going to be 1.35 minus the certificates we already have. Does everybody follow that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move on the assumption that we can sneak in the whole 1.35 and certify the whole 1.35. The reality of it is they probably won't let us certify that. They'll let us certify whatever portion is lacking between what we currently have and that 1.35 number, if you all understand that. But it's the way to go. We've got an opportunity to lock in permanently additional water rights at Horn Creek Forest now. And as time goes by and we begin to project the need for more and more water, we can recertify additional chunks of this 2.0 CFS that we have in our permit. But what it does mean is we do have to go through another permit extension process. Those, for whatever reason, always seem to be more painful than certifying. It's strange it's that way. But since nobody commented, there was a public comment period on our water conservation plan, and they've got no comments, which I think it bodes well for us in terms of avoiding some pushback from environmental groups when we go to extend.
For all the time, you'd think we've never really ever had a problem with anything like that with our water, have we?
We did when we first set up Horn Creek.
We had
a lot of pushback, and it was it took time and effort to understand the concerns and respond to those.
But not since.
Once it was put in place. Right. The decision was made, so there's nothing to push back on. This might have been reopening some of those same concerns, but apparently it hasn't.
Not yet, anyway.
But everything's been addressed.
Well, it has, but it's possible that Water Watch or some of these other organizations may rise again. It's possible. We're hopeful not. But
if it happens, we'll deal with it
happens,
like we did
we'll
last time.
We'll deal with it. So. But if you read our existing permit, there's a lot of terms and conditions in that permit that was the result of a settlement agreement based on this litigation we had with the environmental groups the first time we did this. So it is a possibility and it is a factor. But the board's permission, I will continue to pursue this track. I truly believe it's really the only thing we have at our disposal. Our choices are very minimal at this point, and I think this makes good sense.
So you're not asking for a motion or a vote or anything like that right now. You're asking for consensus to support this approach?
Well, what I would say is, and this is one of these areas where I would leave it up to the board to tell me how this needs to play out. If the board needs to, agree to this proposal, then I would say, whatever form that takes, we should do that. But I don't know if something like this is just, I'm consulting with the board and I'm waiting for the board's consent or advice, whether it needs an actual motion to accept or to pick a particular approach or another, I don't know the answer to that.
Let me ask you this. In your professional opinion, with your background and everything, you think this is the proper way to go?
I think this is not only the proper way to go, it's almost the only way to go.
Go for it.
I'm feeling like this is something, since we don't have anything in writing that spells all this out, and it is extremely complicated, you do a great job of explaining it. But I'm kind of feeling like if we have consensus to proceed, that's more effective than taking a vote on something that we don't have a written thing in front of us that lays it all out.
I agree.
So, and Cameron pointed and said, like thumbs up before he left.
Yeah, my one comment, John, would be that given that we know that extensions are more difficult than the permits, I would just caution about not delaying. I would just do everything at once, because if the extensions really are a pain, then let's not wait. That would be my one thought.
Yeah, and I'm like mind, our legal counsel feels like we've got plenty of time, but on the other hand, do we really, right?
Doesn't seem like in the past the time that we have seems to go the way that we want it. So.
Right. Do you think that's something that you could bring something in writing to the next board meeting, and having had this homework discussion and you have consensus, is that something?
Yeah, are you referring to a proposal by the specialists that are going to help us achieve this? Or are you talking about some additional correspondence or documentation to verify our approach?
If we feel like we have consensus,
I'm good with it. Just going forward.
Let's go forward with exploring what you're exploring, and then when it comes time to make a decision and get something on paper, because we're going to spend money and budget for it, and that kind of thing, then we would do a vote.
Okay, that works for me. But I, you know, this was looking very murky and very complicated for a while.
For a few years, actually.
But the Oregon Water Resources Department took those options off the table for us anyway. And in a sense, it was a blessing, because it really makes the path forward transparent.
Good. Okay.
Okay, we have a consensus. I think we can move on. Item C in the new business is accessory dwelling unit enforcement capabilities. This was for the rest of the board. You saw it on the agenda. Came to me from Ann here a few months ago. She was very concerned at where we were going. We didn't want to leave this hanging. The basic question is, do we have enforcement capabilities? Because we do have a resolution 03-01 that was included in our pack, our meeting package. And I'd like to, I did the other day, but I'd like to compliment staff on the research that was done on this. It very, very well done, all the data that we had. I went and tried to contact the county. There is no accessory dwelling unit ordinance on the books at this time. I understand there might be something in the works. I reached out to Sarah Absher, the Director of Community Development. Was unable to talk to her a couple of days ago, left her a note to see if she could get with us for this meeting. I haven't heard back. Obviously, we're going to have to work with the county on this. We're kind of left in the air, the way I see it. However, the last communication we had before Tony left us was that he had checked with counsel, legal counsel, and I believe that's on the last page of the minutes, former minutes under dwelling unit discussion, December 3rd, 2019. It was decided that the authority's policy did not prevent the customer from putting in a guest house, and the authority would need to look into changing their policy. Well, our policy states that we needs that an accessory structure needs to have water and sewer separate. And
because it's an ADU, accessory dwelling unit, and a dwelling is a legal definition in land use terms. it has to have certain, 4 out of 5 certain elements, or 2 out of 3.
Or 3, a refrigeration, yeah. Cooking facility,
and that
dishwashing,
is,
sink, garbage, toilet.
Tillamook.
Yeah.
Planning and building.
And language. You were on a committee, a subcommittee of us, and did a lot of the legwork there. Can you kind of fill us in now? What you?
I really can't fill you in much more than the material that's been provided here, and I wouldn't trust my memory to try to encapsulate all of this. It's nice you complimented the staff, and I would too, that to gather all of this information. This was a long time ago. There were many, many, many discussions. There were some kind of dead ends we came to because we didn't, for example, have information from the county. We did not have, and I saw it at one point at the SDAO meeting, but we did not have documented information from other water sewer districts on how this is handled in other places. So beyond that, I wouldn't try to recreate all of this for the discussion tonight. But I do think it's worth, if we're going to take this issue up and try to move forward with it, I think it's worth everybody reading all of this background very thoroughly, because it's basically all here.
Yeah, I did that. Your basic question about enforcement, it's my understanding that the sheriff was asked about it because they deal with any kind of enforcement with the county.
Code enforcement. Yeah.
Yeah, and since there's no code, where are we at?
Exactly. That's the question. There is no county code for the sheriff to enforce. And that was one of the first things we talked with Sarah about years ago, was the code enforcement officer at that time had been, maybe not formally eliminated, that might be too strong a term, but the person left the position and they couldn't afford to replace them at that time. So there was basically no code enforcement. They tried to work with the sheriff's office in matters of serious need, but there, I believe there is a code enforcement officer again now. I'm kind of out of that loop, have been for quite a while. I'm not sure exactly how that's going, but
you're not going to get a sheriff.
You're not. No, no, and it's not a county code. It would have to be a county code for
right.
the sheriff
and
to get
involved.
And if
there was, you still wouldn't get a sheriff.
No.
I mean, exactly. they're not
exactly.
doing this kind
staffing
of
staffing wise. They're not doing.
So, in our own ordinance, though, we have the ability to assess $250 a day fine.
But we do not have the legal authority to enter, to require entry to a property just to verify something that we might think is happening. That was where the sticking point came in, because people would build a separate building for a boat shed and then put an apartment in the back of it, and we would never know it. And so there was an accessory dwelling unit on the property that had not been properly vetted and gone through PCJWSA rules for costs and lines
now, state,
and everything else.
The state has an ADU ordinance, or Oregon's administrative rule through...
They define them.
Through the Oregon Revised Statutes.
They define what that is.
Yeah, so the state is in online here, but the county is not. That's what appears to be the problem.
I think the county has to go by the same ORS that you're talking about.
With
that,
state.
But at the same time, that still doesn't give PCJWSA as a governmental entity the authority to do what we need to do to enforce it. We're on perfectly sound ground with our ordinance requiring separate hookup for a separate dwelling unit. There's no question about that. The question is, if somebody tells us that their neighbor has one of these things, we have no authority to go knock on the neighbor's door and say, we've had a report of this, we need to do an inspection of your building. Because it's not our, the county is the building official.
I also noticed in our ordinance.
It's very complicated at that point.
In our ordinance, under the definitions, the first page, it also includes recreational vehicles, travel trailers, as a dwelling unit.
Well, we do have a rule that you can't hook recreational vehicles or travel trailers to the water supply or to the sewer supply at a house, and that has been enforced many times, as I recall.
Yeah. So first of all, the state does have a new ADU rule.
They have a definition, yeah.
Yep, and Tillamook County's not in compliance with it right now.
I think they are, but Tillamook County doesn't have its own code or something.
They do not have an ordinance.
Well, because they're subject to state ordinances.
They are.
It's kind of a moot point, unless they want to do something different than the state
right,
did.
They've been proposing one. The state said you can have up to two ADUs on a piece of property.
Okay, yeah.
And the county has been proposing one.
Limiting it to one.
So I'm not sure that they're going to be in compliance. So
they've got issues for sure
to go through. But if I understand it correctly, if you wanted to legally build an ADU,
right,
you would need to pull a building permit. And if you wanted to have water, you would need to pull a plumbing permit. And at that point, when you pull the plumbing permit, isn't there a contingency from the county that you get PCJWSA permission?
You have to have a letter of availability to get a building permit. And so we would want Tillamook County's ADU ordinance to require a letter of availability for building an ADU.
Do they need to have a sign-off from PCJWSA to get a plumbing permit pulled for an ADU?
That's basically what the letter of availability does, doesn't it? It tells the county it's okay. You can have water and sewer service to that property.
Well, yeah, but that would be for new construction. But if you wanted to add an ADU to an existing, and you wanted to run a water line from your house to your ADU, would you need to get a letter of availability from the PCJWSA?
For a separate water line, according to our laws.
Yeah, we demand a separate.
I understand that we do that, but does Tillamook County know that if somebody wants to build an ADU and pull a plumbing permit, that Tillamook County can't give them that plumbing permit until they've checked with us?
I can't answer that question.
That's where I...
Yeah.
And that's maybe where our sort of enforcement is.
Yeah, Rochelle might have something to add here.
Okay.
Rochelle, can you hear us?
Yeah. I was just going to add that the letter of availability simply is just saying that this lot is in our district and we are required to supply water and sewer to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that letter might not be adequate. So we've got some work to do on this issue with the county.
I'd like to make a propose that we invite Sarah Absher to here, because when I was making inquiries this week to the county, they inferred, one or more persons inferred that there was something in the works or that it was being discussed. So I think at this point we possibly should invite Sarah to our next meeting or something and see if she has anything more to add or suggest. Or
my recommendation would be to just talk to Sarah directly,
yeah,
and not get her to come to a meeting quite yet. I mean, they're gonna have a whole lot of work to do to get their ADU ordinances together, but certainly I don't know that we need to have her come to a meeting, but certainly having a conversation with her, I think, would be worthwhile.
Okay, well, I'll follow up on that. I already have a note into her to contact me. So
maybe just ask her the question. You know, if somebody were to build an ADU and pull a plumbing permit, would we have the ability to review that, or know about it, or get informed about
it? Because our ordinance requires that to be a separate fee.
Okay.
For water and sewer, separate SDC.
All right, I'll follow up on that and inform the board at the next meeting when I find out.
Yeah, thanks.
And we'll make it an agenda item for next month.
Okay.
We'll table that discussion then till next month on item C. That leaves us item 9, guest questions and comments.
Were there?
Bye. Thank you
Bye.
For being here.
Thanks for being here.
Were there any sent in? Or?
No, there was not.
Okay. Item 10, director comments. Anybody have anything they'd like to bring up?
I do. When Carolyn was working on a project on the that we had the guy come in and talk to us all. That we would all get along or whatever. That kind of got dropped. Now it will fall on Tom's hands, I guess.
Ryan, follow up. Ryan.
That had more to do with the review thing. It was Rob Mills. Rob Mills from, he was a consultant with SDAO, and we had a board workshop on board communication and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I think that maybe you and I had talked about maybe doing sort of chapter two of that with you as the new board chair, and maybe it might be useful to touch that base again, Cameron. So maybe we're kind of thinking along the same lines.
We're going to just close that chapter and finish it up, tidy up the books as far as...
My personal feeling is that it's not necessary at this point. I think we all have learned from that. We have a tendency now to communicate a lot better. I think we understand each other and respect each other more. I don't know. Do you think it's worth pursuing, or?
I'm not feeling personally a big need for it right now, but I like knowing that it is something we all did together, and that
I don't think
we could do it again.
I don't think that we need to write a policy or whatever. I think that she was going to draw up something.
I don't think there was a policy. I think it was really more just for communication amongst us. And
yeah.
I was just looking back through my stuff. And then
can we ask Sean what he thinks
on
that?
I don't feel any pressing
on?
Need to,
okay.
to move.
Thanks.
The only thing, anybody on the Ripple pipeline replacement?
Ripple.
Sangria Street. Anything, anybody?
Well, I sent a copy of the letter to everybody.
Thought it was well written.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
I did get one call back, and you can imagine what he wanted to talk about, which is there any way we can leverage this project to pave the whole road?
Yeah.
It was a good conversation. Of course, I said, we can't commit to that. It's not something that we could commit to. This person seemed to think that he was trying to convince me to carry some kind of a torch about this to the county. I told him that that's not my role. I really need to kind of remain neutral in these things, and I need to just worry about our obligations return the road back to the initial condition once we do a pipe.
Bad.
Of course, I also explained that we can't get our... If we did this, for one person every time we replaced a pipeline, everybody would want us to repave the whole road. My suggestion to this person, although it is considered to be what they call a local access road, which means it's not really on the county's list of roads that they actively maintain.
Which is, they do all the time.
Yes, but nonetheless, I suggested to this person that
With enough support, perhaps, I wouldn't know, but perhaps the county may feel they've got a little bit of flexibility. But what I told this person is I suggested that if this was important to them, what would be much more effective than anything I could do, even if I felt like I was able to do something, was it really needs to be a grassroots effort from everybody that currently lives on the street. If I was to pursue this, I'd probably draft a letter and I'd ask every homeowner to sign it. And that would have, I think that would have clout. It may not make a difference, but I think it's at least something the county would pay attention to. That was my suggestion to this person, because I let him know that this is really nothing that we can make one of our pet projects.
Now, is our website up to date, and would the Rupo project be on there that people can comment, or at least,
Rochelle?
Or how many people visit the website to actually look at this stuff?
Well, we don't currently have anything about Rupo on there.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of detail I could put on there yet. And we have reached out to every homeowner on the street. What I would like to do, as I proposed in the letter, is when it gets time, I'd like to have a meeting to where, you know, all the impacted homeowners would be invited. Some would probably come, some maybe wouldn't come. But I feel like this will be enough of a disruption to the folks on this street that we owe them an opportunity to ask questions or express concerns. And I feel like having, you know, like I mentioned in the letter, just, you know, a town hall type meeting to where, you know, we could invite the homeowners to the meeting, and we could have, you know, we could give them an update on the project, tell them what we know, tell them what we're planning, give them an opportunity to ask questions.
Or, like, put something in the paper, local paper, and...
Yeah, because I truly believe we have two obligations here. One, we have an obligation to maintain our system, to ensure, as I said in the letter, safe and dependable water supply. But I believe we've got another obligation, and that's not to turn these people's lives sideways for a month. And that's got to be a focal part of this job, and it's going to be a focal part of a contractor requirement.
Well, there's only one way in.
This wasn't on the agenda.
I brought this up as comments. Comments.
But now we're in a discussion phase, and it was not on the agenda as an item for discussion.
The thing about that road, there's only one way in. That's it. So, and people are gonna. So,
all right.
That down the road, I'd like to see that. You know, we're. Let people know what's going on.
Yeah.
But nobody showed up. But.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. I mean, does that sound like a good idea to you guys? Okay.
Yeah,
so hopefully on our website, and I did talk to Rochelle about the website that she's working on it.
I understand that we have a new vendor, or Rochelle, or go ahead.
Yeah, actually our new website went live today.
Yay!
Awesome.
It's not
Thank you.
100% up to date because I got to go and tweak it, but it looks a little bit different.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And we will be able to count the traffic on the website.
Oh, good.
We'll know if people are actually looking at it.
Wow. We have really arrived in the new century.
Baby. Yeah, it'll be nice to see who's looking at stuff.
Thank you, Rochelle. Well, if there's no other comments from the board, we'll adjourn. It is now 18:43 hours.
All right. Thank you very much.